Morning, everyone. Welcome to English service at ECC. Welcome to everyone who's watching through any of the streaming service. It is a pleasure and honor to be here with you this morning. For those of you who don't know, my name is Betsali. I serve here at ECC, and this morning I have the honor and privilege to share the word with you. Since you're standing, please open your Bibles, open your apps, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. We worship your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 13. Glory to your name. The word reads, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, And in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. For when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thank you for your word. Lord, we take this time, and we thank you again for your presence. We thank you for the time to share this word. Lord, I pray for every person who is here, who is watching, Lord, that this word would meet the need that they would present, Lord. Again, you know our hearts, you know what we need, and we just thank you because you are with us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm always excited and very nervous when I get to share the word with you all. It really is my sincere prayer that the Lord will reach our needs this morning. I can say that not because I'm speaking, right, but because we have a true and living word that can change and renew and transform and just completely alter our hearts. They could heal our hearts, my God. As Pastor Carlos always shares, right, let our Sunday change our Monday, right? That today would be a day to start afresh with what God has for us. I can share that as I was preparing this message, it was a struggle to get to this message. I think anyone who speaks kind of goes through this process, right, where you're seeking the Lord and trying to figure out what can I share. And as I was preparing this, I said, Lord, this is for someone who needs to be reminded of the hope that we have in you. And so I've titled the message, Our Anchor of Hope. So this morning we read in the book of Hebrews. It's a beautiful word, almost poetic sounding, with the imagery and metaphors presented. I'm particularly a fan of anything that's like nautical, right? It mentions anchors. So the imagery in the passage catches my attention. However, its depth keeps my attention, and we'll get into that a little bit. As you know, I always like to give a little bit of background to know the context, to see how this can apply to us. I heard a pastor say that scripture or word, right, was written to a particular people and for our benefit today, right? And further, that it cannot mean for us what it did not mean for them, right? We can't just make it up as we go along, so to speak. So this morning we're going to look at what it meant for them to connect, what it means to us, people here at Elohim Christian Church on May 2nd, 2021, right? It's a letter to the Hebrews, right? It's traditionally attributed to Paul. However, there is no certain author for it. Another Jewish Christian may have authored the letter. What we do know by the content of this letter is that its audience is a community who believes in Christ. We don't know geographically where they may be located, but given the heavy references and needed knowledge of the Old Testament scripture, particularly the first five books of our Bible, which is their Torah, we know that they were Christians of Hebrew descent. We also know that this Christian community was suffering persecution and even imprisonment. They were being influenced or tried to be influenced by religious Jews of that time. And as a consequence, some were wavering in their faith, right? While they may have started as strong believers of Jesus, having heard the word, their faith at this moment may have been wavering. Because of that, some of them were actually even walking away from their faith, walking away from Christ altogether, right? So such was the persecution, such were the circumstances that they were going through that they could not withstand. They could not hold on and would choose otherwise to walk away than have to suffer any further. Throughout the letter, the author strives to present Jesus as superior to all that they may have known and challenge them to remain faithful despite their persecution, not to abandon their faith, not to abandon Jesus, again, despite their persecution and whatever contrary arguments they may be presented with. Right. So if you haven't read the book of Hebrews, it's pretty short. It's only a few chapters long. I encourage you to read it, 13 or so chapters. But it flows, right? It's a letter to them. You see the encouragement. There's four separate stages where Jesus is presented. To present Jesus as superior, the author compares him with what they were familiar with in their Jewish traditions. Angels as messengers and the Torah, Moses and the promised land, priests, sacrifice, covenant. These are all terminology and events that they were familiar with. At each step, the author highlights how Jesus either surpasses or is the better version of what they know. As he is the Son of God, he is God, right? So he presents Jesus as better, as meeting that need, better or just altogether surpassing whatever it was that was previously given to them to follow as a rule or as a procedure, as a covenant. So this is what happens in Hebrews, why it's written. It's the format of Hebrews. As I was meditating and wanting to share on this, I wanted to say that now, like the community that received this letter, right, we too as believers can be faced with a myriad of situations and circumstances that can challenge our faith, make us question who we are as believers, and sometimes even question if we're saved. Right? The Hebrews struggled with so much persecution and incarceration. I can imagine just different trials and probably from areas and people and circumstances that they would have never expected that, right? We also, as believers, can put ourselves in the shoes of maybe we're not being dragged off to jail, right, because of our beliefs, but we're definitely exposed to a type of struggle or circumstance that can make us altogether question, why am I even doing this? Like, is this even worth it, right, at any moment in our lives? There's loss, there are disappointments, there are unmet expectations, and the process awaiting that can some that for sometimes can make situations or circumstances that challenge our faith by creating uncertainty. When we lose something we thought we would ever have, what happens then? When we don't get what we've been waiting for, what's happening? Right? When we have expectations that are not being met for X or Y, whatever reason, what's happening? Right? So it stirs within us an uncertainty. It stirs within us a doubt of, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Does this even matter if I don't even see the fruits of whatever I'm walking in? Right? At times, we can be exposed to voices and influences that distract us from the truth of the gospel and take our glance off of who and what really matters, right? The source of these distracting voices or influences could be loved ones, could be friends, could be anything in the outside, the media, whatever it may be. But it's really whatever we allow to influence us, right? If we give way to those things, we give ear, we incline our ear to those things, they can become an influence in our lives. We may not notice it right away. We may just say, oh, it's fine, right? You know, once, twice, whatever it may be. But over time, we see the influence in our lives. Right? We see a change. We see a shift. We may see that I don't think the same way. I don't feel the same way. I don't know. I'm in Spanish, there's a phrase that says, no me encuentro. Like, I can't find where I fit in, like where I am, right? So that can come as a result of influences, voices that we allow into our minds and into our hearts. Our faith can be challenged when we are tempted to replace what is real and everlasting in our lives with what is momentary to satisfy us, leading us to temporary pleasures that we later regret. Okay? I'm going to say that one more time. Our faith can be challenged when we are tempted to replace what is real and everlasting in our lives, the love of God, the peace of God, his faithfulness to us, his protection. His faithfulness. You know, any of those things that are true and everlasting in our lives before our God, because of God, when we are tempted to replace any of those things, relationship with him, with what will momentarily satisfy something in our lives. That just leads us to maybe a momentary or temporary pleasure that we may later regret, right? Because anything that is momentary, that is passing by, that is not sustaining, that is passing by will not sustain us in the long run, will not fill us in the long run. Something that's not everlasting, something that's not continual, cannot stay with us forever, right? We have our source of what's continual as believers. We have our source of what maintains, and that is God. That is Christ in our lives. So we have all these struggles and circumstances. We can be battered on all sides by just different aspects of our lives, right? And we're each an individual person with our own little struggles. If I share my struggles, I'm sure they're not the same as yours. They may be similar in some aspects, right? But they will never be exact. But in all those things, right? In all those things, God has given us something to counter this, right? He has given us a tool to help us hold on to our faith in the midst of so much that can affect us. Considering the nautical imagery in the verses we just read, as ships are fitted with anchors to hold them steady through storms, unmoved by what surrounds them, protected from drifting away and possibly sinking, we too, our souls have been provided an anchor of hope. This anchor of hope holds us steady and firm through any storm. This anchor goes beyond our present trial and circumstance and digs deep in the heavenly place where Jesus is already at the right hand of the Father and where we will also be one day. We need to clarify what is meant here by anchor of hope, right? We hear the word hope and we can easily infer that feeling when we get when we're waiting or wishing for something, right? We hope that this or that would happen, right? But there isn't a kind of certainty in that feeling of hope. Like, oh, I hope this happens, right? But, you know, who knows if it's going to happen, right? I hope it doesn't rain or, you know, whatever is momentary or passing or feeling that we may have, right? That is not a certain hope. This hope that we have as believers and that anchors us is not that uncertain feeling generated within us. This hope, as referenced in scripture, is from the Greek elpis, that means to anticipate or welcome. Furthermore, means an expectation of what is sure, what is certain. This hope is something external to ourselves, which is offered to us and which we can grasp. This hope or certainty is the assurance of the salvation that we as believers attain in Christ. God has provided us an anchor of certainty with him as believers, as his children. In light of this, there are two questions I believe we need to consider. The first question is, what is anchoring our souls? Are we holding fast to this anchor of hope in our lives? If we are feeling adrift, if we are not steady or sure, it may be that what is anchoring us is not this anchor of hope, rather an inadequate anchor. I was having a conversation with someone about anchors, and there's something that stuck out to me in that conversation. When a ship is fitted with an anchor, it is fitted with an anchor that is appropriate for the future need that ship will have to be moored, to be, you know, stopped. I'm sure you all heard of the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal. It was called the Ever Given. It measures 1,312 feet, almost as long as the Empire State Building is tall, right? And weighs over 200,000 U.S. tons. It's capable of carrying 20,000 of those 20-foot shipping containers, 20,000 of those, right? So the thing was huge. It was massive, right? Can you imagine if they fit that massive ship with the same anchor as a sailboat? It would be pointless. The need to have to moor that ship would not be met by a tiny little anchor that would be attached to a sailboat, right? It simply would not have been an adequate anchor. I'm pretty sure that, I think it had like, I saw like two on each side, so I don't know, like 10 or something. It was the huge anchors. We must look to see if we are anchoring our souls by things that are also inadequate. We also need an adequate anchor, right? We need to see if our souls are being anchored by things that will not serve us in the long run. Oftentimes, we are led to steady ourselves, steady our souls by our own thoughts and emotions. We look to ourselves to provide what only God can. We try to soothe ourselves with self-help books or podcasts or 5 steps to a better life, right? We do these things instead of looking to Christ, right? Instead of looking to God who provides for us, who steadies us. We try to steady our souls with stuff, right? Our careers, our status, our influence, right? When we're lacking in something, we anchor ourselves on, I'm the president of blah, 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 right? Or I have this position, or I am this person, or I have this influence, and that's what keeps me steady. I can hold on to this because this is what makes me who I am. We steady ourselves, this may be a little controversial, we steady ourselves on religion, on traditions, right? checking off boxes to meet certain expectations, right? In desperation, we also sometimes even look to sinful behavior to ease our weary souls. Again, those temporary pleasures, those temporary things that because, you know, I'm feeling lonely, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Because I'm feeling, you know, because I'm not feeling, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, right? Because it goes both ways. So we look to these things that are temporary, inadequate things to steady our souls, to anchor our souls. This word reminds us that the future need of our souls requires that we be anchored by something outside of ourselves and beyond anything on this side of eternity. We need to be anchored by the certainty of the salvation we have attained in Christ. The second question I believe we need to consider is, why can we trust this anchor? Why can we trust this anchor of hope? Scripture tells us that it is sure and steadfast. Other versions say firm and secure. So depending if you're reading ESV, NIV, you're going to see different versions. This anchor of hope is sure and steadfast, firm and secure. I was reading a commentary and it said, a sure anchor is one that does not drag, right? We know how anchors work, right? They're dropped and they dig into the earth, whatever, the sand, so that the ship that is moored, that's anchored there, can't really move, right? There's some give in terms of like the chain, but for the most part, it's not going to get very far. It's safely there, right? So a sure anchor is one that does not drag. What use of it is if we have an anchor that we can just take along with us, right? We need something bigger, greater, stronger than ourselves to steady us. It is not too light for the ship that rides by it. It has found a firm ground. Its flukes, I learned a lot about anchors, guys. Its flukes, the part of the anchor that penetrates the ground, right? That's what it's called. They're all right. They're adequate, and they hold on. It does not deceive. The ship's crew may trust to it, right? So the crew on that ship can trust, you know what, the anchor is going to do okay, and we're okay on the ship. An anchor which is steadfast, or as the original word might be rendered, firm, is one that will not break. But it is strong in its own substance, made of good, tough iron on the material side of things. So there is no fear of the shank snapping, right? Whatever strain may be put upon it. We may then say generally that this object of the Christian's hope is free from all weaknesses and imperfections which cleave and cling to other objects. Again, anything else that we may try to anchor ourselves to on this side of eternity will be full of weaknesses and imperfections, namely because they can never meet the needs of our souls. This anchor of hope being of God, who can be trusted to fulfill his promises, as we saw starting in verse 13, where it references Abraham and the promise made to him and how he fulfilled that promise, right? So we can trust God to trust his promises. Time and time again, scripture reminds us of that, that we can trust him. We can place our full faith in him. We can trust him. We know he loves us. We know he provides us for us. He can be trusted to hold us and steady us through all the storms we face until we meet him on the other side of eternity. Having considered these questions, I would like to point out, I would like to point to verse 18, which encourages us to lay hold of this hope set before us. It says, hold on, right? It means that there needs to be some intentionality on our part, right? To lay hold of it. How can we lay hold of it? Two things. Learn more of God and meditate on him. Right? As we read scripture, as we pray, as we study, and we meditate on who God is, what he's done for us, right? We become anchored more and more. Another way to do this is to encourage others, right? As we encourage others of what who God is, what he's done, who he is for us, and who we are in him, right? We remind ourselves, creating a cycle that that helps both of us, right? As you're teaching someone else, you're teaching yourself. As you're sharing with someone else, you remind yourself of those things that are sure and steadfast in your life. And being intentional about taking hold of this hope, this certainty in our lives as believers, I want to present three markers that show us whether or not we've laid hold of it, right? Three markers that show whether or not we are anchored by hope. The first marker is that in our lives as a believer, if we are anchored in hope or by hope, there is legitimate and abiding peace and joy in our lives, right? It doesn't mean that trouble won't come and we'll get flustered. It doesn't mean that we'll be in a situation where we feel hurt or we feel, you know, any of an emotion, anger, that we might have a reaction, right? Because in the flesh, we'll have a reaction, right? But our soul, our spirit, right? In there will be an abiding peace and joy that is unshakable. That is if you're anchored by hope. In Philippians 4:7, Paul tells us, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Right? So when you're in a situation and you have no idea what in the world is happening, right? But more so, you have no idea how you're still okay. You know you're being anchored by hope. Right? You know that you're relying on the right things. In John 15:11, it says, Jesus, in speaking of being the true vine, in John 15:11, Jesus, in speaking of being the true vine, and what some from abiding in him says, what comes, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." Again, that only comes from abiding in Christ. That only comes from being in Christ, where we're anchored by hope. The second marker that shows us that we're being anchored by hope is that we experience a love and a thankfulness to God, right? This is a continual thing in our lives, right? It comes, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance all that God has done for us, where the Lord has taken us from, how far we've gone because of the Lord. Right? So when we remember these things, we just love God even more and we thank him even more for everything that we've gone through. And because more than anything, he is with us. He meets our needs. He meets us where we are, right? We're all here different in our journeys, right? We're at different stages in our journey. But the Lord meets us exactly where we are. And we love him. He loves us and we're able to love him back. We're able to say, "Thank you, God, because I know that you are with us." In speaking of the markers, right? The first one was there's a legitimate and abiding peace and joy in our lives. The second one is that we experience a love and thankfulness to God. And those of us, right, together create a buoyancy, right? We're able to float. A strength and a cheerfulness in the practice of obedience. Okay? So if we're anchored by hope, right, we experience the peace of God, the joy of God. We experience his love and his thankfulness. Our reaction to that is a willing obedience to whatever the Lord has for us. Doesn't mean it's easy all the time, right? Again, we're human, and we're going to question, and we're like, "Oh, man, it's not that easy," right? But there's a certainty, there's a weight there that will help us obey what is before us, obey whatever the Lord has asked of us. If you can see these markers in your life, you can be sure your soul is anchored You have the anchor of hope, I should say. Your soul has this anchor of hope. If you thought of these markers and said, well, Bets, I'm not quite there, right? Oh, I struggle with this or with that. I don't live with legitimate and abiding peace and joy. I really have a hard time thanking God. I really don't practice obedience. I fight with God all the time and don't want to follow anything he's telling me to do or calling me to be. It's okay. There's good news. That can change today, right? You have taken the first step in recognizing, you know what? I'm not quite meeting those markers. I don't see that in my life, right? You've recognized your current state and you can turn to God. And you can say, Lord, this is not how I want to live. I want to have this anchor of hope. I want to have this anchor of certainty that I am yours and you are mine. In the end, brothers and sisters, we know that many of storms will blow, right? And if we see ships out at sea, those ships that just the waves crash against them and the wind is strong and they're just going to and from. And I love the sea. I get a little seasick, but I still love the sea, right? Motion sickness. But I love being out in the sea. I love the water. There's something about it that's very calming for me, right? But it's not fun when there's a storm, right? It's not fun when you're in any kind of a ship or a sailboat or anything, and the wind is howling and the waves are crashing against it, because it moves everything inside of you, but it creates that uncertainty, right? What we know as believers, as the author of Hebrews told the Hebrews there, is that we can survive these storms, but we can only survive these storms when we hold fast. So long as we take hold of this hope as an anchor to our souls. Amen. So that concludes my words this morning. If you, again, find yourself in a place, if you find yourself in a place where you're not feeling steady, you feel like you're maybe adrift a little bit, it's not too late to say, Lord, I need you. I need to be anchored by you again. I need this anchor of hope to be renewed in my mind and in my heart so that I, Lord, can continue this journey, this voyage of being a believer, of trusting you, knowing that I will soon be with you at the other side of eternity. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.